Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon.
Ask yourself, what kind of example are you setting for others?
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
And good morning, everybody. It is Friday, September 9th, 2011. 2 days from now, it will be the 10th anniversary of the terrorist attacks on the United States, the 10th anniversary of 9/11. How are Christians supposed to react to everything that's happened in the past 10 years? Not just the attack itself, but also the subsequent actions. We've seen Saddam Hussein go down, captured, tried, and hanged. And there were many people who rejoice. Is it okay for a Christian to rejoice over something like that? And then, of course, a couple of months ago, Osama bin Laden was shot to death. And how are we supposed to react as Christians to that? Interesting discussion coming up today with the Reverend Donald Jordan. He is the pastor at Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church. I highly recommend that if you're looking for a home church to give him a call, 342-6085. You'll find out why over the next half hour. And by the way, his church, Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church, will be featured this Saturday from 1 to 1:30. His sermons will be broadcast from 1 to 1:30 this Saturday, and you'll find out in just a few seconds, if you haven't heard the Reverend Jordan, why his sermons are so good. First of all, welcome to the show, Pastor.
Good morning, Jerry.
Well, let's get right to it. Let's start off with, first, what was the response that happened immediately after 9/11? And it doesn't seem like it's been 10 years ago. It seems like it's only been a couple of years ago. It's just time has flown since that's happened. But so much has happened. And when I remember when it first occurred, Pat Robertson, for example, came out and he spoke and said that this is something that God was wanted, that he planned this, that this is his way of alerting that the United States was not living a moral, wholesome life. And obviously he was rightly castigated for that. True?
I don't believe that Pat Robertson can speak for God outside the Scripture, nor can I go outside the Scripture. So I think he was making some suppositions that were not scriptural necessarily. I think if you go to Luke 13 and Jesus' response to tragedies, to terror and things of that nature, there he talked about those whose blood Pilate had mingled with the Galileans, that Pilate had killed these people, and the Tower of Siloam fell on certain people. And the supposition was that somehow they were worse sinners, that it was a judgment of God upon certain people. But Jesus clearly says there in Luke 13 that unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So the Christians took a step back and said, you know, we live in an evil world. There is terror. There is the devil, the world, and the flesh, and all these bad things that happen. We can't pinpoint it and say, well, there's a cause and effect here, other than there's a general judgment upon the world because of the fall of man into sin. But the point was, it was an opportunity for repentance. Now, according to the statistics that I had viewed, church attendance went up dramatically for the next two Sundays, about two Sundays after 9/11. And then after two Sundays, it went back to the average. So there was kind of an emotional, spiritual response to that. But people were trying to figure it out. You know, why did they attack us? Was God behind this? Did God allow it? There are many questions, and people are still suffering with that. We need to pray for those who grieve the loss of loved ones, those 3,000 souls that perished that day. But we don't really know why God allowed that, other than, once again, it's an opportunity for him to call us to repentance.
You know, you always try to find some good out of evil. And there's the story of the local family, Nicole Miller, Nicole Miller was one of the 40 passengers. I don't know whether you even know this, was one of the 40 passengers. She was a young girl, Chico State girl, who was on flight 93, which crashed in Pennsylvania. Well, her parents live up near in Chico. And I will tell you that having gotten to know them, and my wife Kelly just did a wonderful series on the latest on them. They set such great examples through their grief and through their loss, and have inspired me and others to be better people and be better Christians because of the loss they've suffered and how they've handled it. There, strangely enough, is good that comes out of grief to other people.
there is good, and we know that in Romans chapter 8, God has promised that good will come for those who love God, who walk according to his purposes. And there, even in Romans, it talks about the persecution, the bad things that happen. It's not just a generic good in that sense, but it's a specific good that God uses all these terrible things that happen to us in our life. And those people were acutely affected by it. Mm-hmm. Perhaps you and I thought about it. We grieved. We may have shed a tear or two and thought how terrible it was. But let's be honest. We went back to our lives and we went on. And we probably don't think about it too much anymore after 10 years. Even our young children have to be reminded of it. Maybe they're writing a report or a project in school regarding this great catastrophic event. But those families are still suffering with it. And they grieve with it all their lives.
How are we supposed to feel as Christians when we hear that Saddam Hussein is hanged, and we hear that Osama bin Laden is shot in the forehead and killed? Are we to feel good about that?
Well, first of all, I think we need to thank our military. We really do. I think we need to give thanks to God that we have an armed forces in our country, men and women who are dedicated to the preservation of peace and tranquility, that you and I can come on this radio show and enjoy the freedom of religion. So number one, I think in that sense, we should feel good and not apologize for having our armed forces, our military people, are preserving our precious freedoms for carrying out very dangerous jobs. We've lost a lot of good people over the years in this war against terror. But first of all, I would say from Scripture, revenge is bad. It's not scriptural.
Okay.
That is up to God. Now, there are those who serve in God's kingdom of the state, of government, whose job it is to kill the evildoer, to punish, you know, with the sword, as it were in Romans 13. So that's the soldier who does this. That's his prerogative as God's servant, but not for me as an individual. Do we want justice? Yes, we definitely want justice.
Revenge or justice? Is it okay for Christians to feel that way regarding 9/11? We'll continue our discussion with Pastor Donald Jordan when we come back. If you're ever in need of a dentist, let me tell you who my family and I go to. Dr. Eric Eltzroth knows his stuff. His dental hygienists give thorough cleanings. I love this. It's not just 45 minutes, but a full hour. And I love how they know my insurance benefits better than I do, so I maximize my health benefits. When you need dental work or just your six-month cleaning, you can trust Dr. Eric Eltzroth at 895-1999. Dr. Eltzroth's office is at the corner of Eaton and the Esplanade. Dr. Eric Eltzroth, 895-1999. He'll give you something to smile about. Jerry O'Lennon here for ABC Books. If you're looking to save money and get quality new and used books, try ABC Books in Chico. They're at the corner of East and Cohasset near Walgreens. Stop in and say hi to their friendly staff. They can show you how you can save 50 to 90% off new and used books. You never know what hidden gems you may find. Call ABC Books today at 893-4342. That's 893-4342. ABC Books, where saving money is as easy as ABC.
This is Live Local Talk.
We are 2 days out from the anniversary, the 10th anniversary of 9/11, the terrorist attacks on the United States. I'm speaking with the Reverend Donald Jordan, the pastor at Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church in Chico, located over on Hawthorne Avenue. Their phone number, if you're looking for a home church, is 342-6085. We're talking about revenge. Is it okay for Christians to feel good when something bad happens to an enemy, like the United States enemy, Osama bin Laden, Saddam Hussein, who were both put to death eventually, although it took some time? Is it okay, Pastor, to feel good when those people were killed?
I believe a Christian has a basis for, yes, feeling good, feeling it was right, that it was justice in that sense, carried out by God's authorized government. He was hunted down. He was killed. He was executed. He's not going to kill any more people and wreak terror anymore. And it wouldn't have been bad to even pray for that, even though at the same time I would have prayed for his salvation. Because, again, you're dealing with two realms. You're dealing with the civil realm, the governmental realm as a Christian, which God has authorized the use of force, but you're also dealing with the church realm. So while I would have prayed for his salvation, I would have evangelized this evil man, I have to operate with both realms, which I think takes us to the church realm then too, and to look at the whole thing of judgment, of justice then. And I think if salvation is to happen, God has to judge all things, which really takes us to the cross of Jesus then. When you think about it, what's the greatest terror in the world? It's God's wrath, God's judgment upon Donald Jordan, upon Jerry O'Lennon. We're all accountable to God. And we can look at these other people and say they're evildoers, and they are. They wreak havoc. But we're all sinners in that sense, accountable to God. And God is just and holy. He has to punish your sin and mine. Martin Luther one time commented on the phrase from the psalm where God's justice and God's peace kiss. And it comes from one of the psalms. And he said, God's justice, God's peace kiss at the cross. In other words, when Jesus died, that was God's greatest justice. In fact, he unleashed his fury of hell upon Jesus. He was forsaken by the Father when Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? But it all comes together there, and now we no longer live under God's judgment. We are free and forgiven in Christ. So it's always leading to that issue ultimately. But as far as justice, yeah, we pray for it. In Revelation, the souls under the altar prayed for vengeance upon those evildoers who had killed the Christians. St. Paul prayed for his enemies, that God's justice.
And there's the story of the rich man and Lazarus, too,
yes.
Where there seems to be, we don't think that actually happened. That was more of a parable, we believe, that Jesus was telling. But there was certainly the person received his comeuppance because the rich man who didn't give anything to the poor man wound up, the role reversal took place, so there was a sense of justice there.
Well, one trusted in his riches, and he was lost. The other trusted in Christ and came to salvation. And that's the ultimate point of Scripture anyway, that God has given his Son to die for all. God so loved the world. He died for all people, even these evildoers. He died for all sinners. And so in that sense, we don't know who God is going to bring to salvation, who will come to repentance and faith in Christ.
You know, I read Psalms once in a while, and there is some real vengeance that we pray for in some of those Psalms.
Yes.
You know, go to my enemies and just bury them. You know, I mean, it's really rough stuff.
That's right.
And how does that work in conjunction with what Jesus teaches about forgiveness and love and loving your neighbor as thyself, etc.? How do those two coexist together?
Well, I think those are what we call imprecatory psalms, where they're praying for God's justice upon their enemies, for something that is right. And I think when we go to the New Testament, where we're told to love our enemies, to pray for those who persecute us and so on, it almost sounds like a contradiction.
It does sound like
maybe
one,
they're
yes.
a bunch of savages in the Old Testament, and now the New Testament is a testament of love. But you have to remember, it's all God's word. Christ quoted the Psalms. He referred to it as the Scripture. It's all part of God's word. And so in that sense, we have to understand that people in distress cry out for justice. When your house is robbed, you cry out for justice as
right.
a Christian.
Right.
You want that robber stopped, and you call the police, and justice is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. See, I think there's where we go wrong sometime. God wants justice. God wants what is right.
Well, what's the difference between justice and revenge, then?
Well, I think they are two things, and I think you're onto something here. When you cry out for justice, it's a biblical thing, but clearly vengeance is mine. I will repay, thus says the Lord. So the Christian has to understand, you can call for God's justice and so on, but as far as vengeance, that's not the role of the Christian, because then you're placing yourself in the place of God, and that really is idolatry. God will judge every single person. God will bring his justice to bear, and chiefly he's brought that to bear in Christ, that he's made everything right at the cross.
I bet you deal with this on a regular basis as a pastor with your flock. How many members are in your church, roughly?
We have about 200 members on the books, about 110, 100 in service on Sunday.
And I know from somebody who has felt like I've been wronged in my life, and I'm sure there are people that come to you and say, I've been wronged. And does that happen frequently where many of your members come to you and say, and have to reconcile these feelings that they have, where they want justice, but they also want to feel like they're a Christian and they're forgiving?
That is a tension that we live with every day. We know what God's word says about loving our enemies, praying for those who persecute us. This Sunday is the 13th Sunday after Pentecost, and I'll be preaching on Matthew 18, where Jesus asks, how often should I forgive my brother who sins against me? See, we want to put limits on these things, and God doesn't. God says, no, my forgiveness is unconditional in Christ. It extends to you frequently and frequently. But this 9/11 thing is real for the people who've suffered, for the family that you mentioned, and how they have to deal with that in their prayers and their thoughts and reconciling this. You and I have to deal with little 9/11s every day, as it were, and they're not as significant as that, but it could be the loss of a job, the death of a loved one, a great crime, a violence committed against us. It could be a divorce, unfaithfulness in marriage. It could be various things. And the point is, it always drives us to repentance and forgiveness in Christ.
All right. We're going to finish up our discussion with the Reverend Donald Jordan of Redeemer Lutheran Church here in Chico when we come back.
Fairchild Automotive, specializing in Hondas, and now, pleased to announce, specializing in European vehicles. Don't just trust anyone. When it's time for your next service or maintenance, remember Fairchild Automotive. They're the number one smog and repair facility in Chico with over 30 years of experience. They are ASE certified and AAA approved. Fairchild Automotive is located between Fair and Park Avenue, right off East 20th Street on Pavis Court. You can trust Fairchild Automotive, where they're affordable, friendly, and reliable.
Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon.
Ask yourself, what kind of example are you setting for others?
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
If you're a new listener to KKXX Radio, I want to let you know that you might want to tune in on Saturday at 1 o'clock to 1:30. If you're in your car, make an appointment to listen. Our featured church this week is Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church, and the pastor there, the Reverend Donald Jordan, will be having his sermon broadcast for us between 1 and 1:30 this Saturday. Featured church, Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church. If you're interested in learning more about the ministry there at Redeemer Lutheran, give the Reverend Donald Jordan a call. It's in Chico. The number is 530-342-6085. And what will we be hearing? Give us a little preview, Pastor, about what we'll be hearing on your sermon this Saturday.
Well, we'll be talking this Saturday about the role of a child in the kingdom of God and how the disciples had this all wrong. They did not exalt children, and Jesus exalted them and said, it's childlike faith, trust in me. That's the humble one. That's the one who's the greatest in the kingdom. And then the following week, I'll be talking about forgiveness in the kingdom of God. Peter's forgiveness, which he wanted to limit, and I'm going to posit that God's forgiveness is unlimited, the same forgiveness we show to one another.
We've been talking about September 11th, 2 days away from the 10th anniversary of the terrorist attacks on the United States. And we were talking about forgiveness and the way we approach this with our own lives. Somebody does us a wrong and they're very harsh toward us. And what responsibility do we have at that point as a Christian? Do we need to reach out to that person who has hurt us and say, I want to try to make amends? Or do we wait for them to approach us and realize the error of their ways and how wrong they were and come to us? What do we do as Christians when somebody is an enemy toward us? What should we do?
Well, in Matthew 18, Jesus says, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault. It is our obligation to show our brother, and there he means a fellow believer. And that's the context of that, showing him his fault so you can bring him to repentance and win your brother over. That may not happen. There are certain steps that you take. But now, outside the realm of Christianity, where someone is not a believer, our call to them is always to come to Christ, to come to the Lord. But we don't have the same obligation there. It's a little bit different. So I think we could distinguish that. And then you go even into the civil realm of, say, Osama bin Laden, or say, a thief breaks into my house. Well, a thief breaks into my house, I'm going to call the police. I want justice on him. I want him stopped. And I want him punished according to the law. But at the same time, as a Christian, I will talk to him about Christ and assure him that if he repents, his sins will be forgiven. That doesn't negate his civil consequences. I hope he still does his jail time, gets thrown in the pokey, but that's a different realm, see? But at the same time, if he says, Pastor, please forgive me, give me God's absolution in Christ, I would grant it to him.
Right, so, but the punishment still exists.
Punishment still exists.
I tell that with my sons all the time.
That's right. You still got to pay the price.
Right.
You know, I speed down the street, I get pulled over by the cop, I get a ticket, still got to pay it. God, forgive me, I did wrong. That's fine. They're two different realms. Yeah.
So. When does forgiveness and trust come together? Somebody does hurt to you, and you want to forgive them, and they ask for forgiveness. Is there a time period when you say, okay, I'm going to – or do you have to immediately take that person into your confidence and accept that person back before you to continue doing business dealings, for example, with that person? Or is it okay to say, you know what, I forgive you, but I still don't trust you, and I still don't – is that real forgiveness then?
Well, yeah, then we get into a penitential system of showing you're truly worthy of forgiveness and so on. But forgiveness from God is unconditional. We don't have to show that we're worthy or somehow we merit it. We don't merit it,
right,
to be sure. And God doesn't give us a trial period, you know, satisfaction guaranteed 90 days or anything like that. I believe that when we forgive somebody, it has to be unconditional, and we take it at face value.
And accept that person as much as you would accept anybody
else.
You
have to do that in your marriage, in your family relationships. You can't have a trial period of forgiveness. It's unconditional in Christ. What God gives to us through the blood of Jesus is right now. It's not, I'll see whether you're worthy in 30 days and how well you've done. We know that as sinners, we're going to mess up again, in fact.
But isn't God's forgiveness conditional? Think about it. And when I think about the Lord's Prayer, it says, I will forgive you your sins, but only as you forgive the sins of others. The way I've always interpreted that is that, sure, I'm going to forgive. I will forgive you the way you forgive your brothers, and if you hold them to a trial period, then I'm going to hold you to a trial period. Is that what that scripture means?
Well, in Matthew 18, Jesus said, you know, here it is very clearly, so also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. You are obligated as a Christian in a gospel sense of offering forgiveness because God has first given you forgiveness in Christ. And so you're always ready to forgive those who say, please forgive me. Now, in that sense, it is conditional. When somebody says, hey, I didn't sin against you, I didn't do anything wrong, then you'd say, no, I do not offer you forgiveness.
Right.
Even in Luke chapter 17, Jesus says, if your brother repents, forgive him. There has to be repentance. But if there's not repentance, even in church, if a sinner does not repent, I will not grant absolution.
You know, forgiveness, when somebody asks for forgiveness, it's a real release point for the person that was wronged, isn't it? If somebody does me wrong and somebody comes up to me and says, I really did you wrong and I'm sorry, that makes me feel more free than somebody offers that. That's a great gift from somebody.
Well,
asks
it is, and because it's first of all a gift from God to you that you've received, and now you would be joyful to bestow this gift on another person. A pastor's joy is to pronounce absolution upon penitent sinners. It's your joy to pronounce that upon somebody. What a wonderful gift that we can give, which is why there's that harsh warning right after the Lord's Prayer. If you do not forgive men their trespasses against you, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. That's a stern warning.
You know, I remember when after 9/11, I would pray. I knew the chances of it never happening would be virtually nil, but I would pray, you know, God, let Osama bin Laden see the error of his ways. Let him see how wrong he was and have him change and convert him to a Christian and think about how magnificent the world would be. Unrealistic, but I guess that's what we need to pray for.
Absolutely. We pray for our enemies and for their conversion. One thing we realize, though, look at these men. They're gone. They're dust. They're in the ocean. See, that's the point of man. God's still in control, and God is still in control of his church and his world, doing his work in spite of these horrors. And they will repeat, and they will get worse before the end of time. But the church always goes to the cross. There's a neat little hymn here that says there's a time for everything. A time for all that life may bring, a time to plant, a time to weep, a time to laugh, and a time to reap, a time to heal, a time to slay, a time to build where rubble lay, a time to die, a time to mourn, a time for joy to be born. Eternal Lord, your wisdom sees and fathoms all life's tragedies. You know our grief, you hear our sighs, in mercy dry our tear-stained eyes. From evil times, you bring great good. Beneath the cross, we've safely stood. Though dimly now life's path we trace, one day we shall see face to face. Before all time had yet begun, you, O Father, gave your Son.
Great way to end the show. Reverend Donald Jordan, thank you for being with us. Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church, give him a call if you're interested in being a member. 342-6085. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you on Monday. God bless everybody.